Hello.
Hello.
Oh, that's so much better.
Okay. Because
Oh,
I really didn't
that's
get
so much
any
better.
problems on my end, so maybe it's just a general server issue.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
No problem, no problem. Getting back to the topic at hand. So, and now from over there, I assume you are right on that the emphasis on the park may have misled the team to understand that the park plays an important role, but it's not actually the park. It's just him having his way around the city in order to protect that he doesn't have a home, yet at the same time he has comfortable living.
There you go.
Okay, that's one concern that is cleared. Now, second, I'm going to be very honest with you. I do not get the bad cop storyline so much because, I'm trying to see how this is going to end, to be exact. Like, I see the entire plot flowing. It's a very nice way to start off. The mid's going to be fine. How exactly do you plan on ending this? Because
Okay.
if you're going towards that story that there are people who are trying to rob from the homeless, and
Okay, yeah,
how do you
okay. So,
fall into the storyline of the overall person? What does he learn something out of it? What is he getting out of all this that he starts to help?
yes, okay. So, I'm just making sure I heard you, though, at the beginning. And first off, let me just tell you, I think you started that by saying, I'm just going to be totally honest with you. I appreciate you saying that, but you don't have to. If you disagree with something, by all means, I want you to tell me, okay? You're not going to hurt my feelings. You're not going to hurt my feelings at all. Not one single bit.
Yeah, I'm very transparent. That's why I am trying to understand the end
Okay.
game because I also have an end
So.
game in my head. So I'm trying to understand yours first, then I'll tell mine.
Ah, okay. Okay. So I want to answer that to you, and I want to tell you in complete detail.
Go for it.
I've got, yeah, well, so, yeah, no problem, no problem. So, here's the thing, and you have no idea, I've been waiting to talk to you all day, so I'm so looking forward to talking to you about this. My son, my 15-year-old son, has invited a friend and two girls over here for the first time ever. And the mother is just pulled up with her daughter. Can you wait one second and let me say hello to her?
No problem, no problem. Take your time. Go for it.
Okay, hang on one second.
Yeah.
Hang on, you're gonna laugh, but would you rather me call you back at this number or do you want to just wait? If you can wait, I'll.
I can wait. Go. It's fine.
Okay, hang on one second. Don't go anywhere. It's gonna be a minute. Hey, how are
No
you?
problem.
Look, remember me from the club. I just saw you the other day. Y'all come on in for a second.
I'm like,
It's okay. I mean, if you got to go, but.
yeah, I can. I mean, I'm done. I'll leave my car off.
You're good? You doing all right? Okay, I'm not sure where. I think they're actually in the front right there. Let me. Hey, there we go. Hey. Hang on, Kevin.
No problem.
I'm in a conference call. It's going to take a long time, so come on. I was just going to tell you, I was going to introduce you, but this is my friend Matt. Oh, he's on the phone too.
Okay, I'm sorry.
This is my friend Matt and his wife, Em.
Hey, I'm actually Morgan.
My youngest
Yes.
is good friends with their son, and they came by here to drop him off too. So they're playing. And so I'm
Okay. Kids swap.
yeah, they're doing all kinds of stuff like that.
Well, I saw her, but I couldn't totally see.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait a minute, are we at the right? Then I was like, did JB like trick you and like.
Oh yeah, no, and but I mean, I didn't know if you wanted to talk to her about anything, but they're just going to go swimming and hang out.
Okay.
You can
Can I give you my number?
absolutely, yeah, here. But let me write it down here since I'm on this call with him. Come right on in. Yes, I'm just sitting in the office working, so and I'm just going to keep an eye on them and make sure everything's good and. Left Roanoke and then came here and I bought property that I was developing and we lived in it while I built this house. Well, while I demoed a house and then built this one.
Oh, this is awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Plus, this is Yeah, this is perfect down being right here.
Oh, yeah, we love
access
it.
Access and everything.
Yeah. You're wrong, you want to write it down for me here.
But thank you for having, yeah, Britton and JD have been talking. And
I really appreciate that they came. Hensley's mother, I talked to her for a while, and we know them too. We know their parents.
Okay.
She does.
Okay.
Yeah, do you know her?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Britton just said the name, and I'm trying to fit the most of that many people from different grades and other schools.
Which I didn't even realize what that was until. That's so funny. Yeah, you're welcome.
But yeah, so I can come when I was like, Rich, you know, when someone picked, like, I don't know
either. She said they're on no schedule, but her husband, this is her first and only child, and they laugh and joke and say they're pretty strict parents, and he is too. So she laughed and said this is a big milestone for him. So they can't go. He won't let them go somewhere like to get a Barbados to eat. Like my kids walk, I can't even walk to Barbados. I don't want to go anywhere. So you know they might hang out if y'all are okay with it. I just don't know. But I imagine it's going to be after 6.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
So, yeah.
But if you're okay with whenever.
So I'm just running through the phone, going back down to see you.
And when I get off the phone, off my conference call here, I'll call your number just so you can have mine on your phone.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care. Good to see you. Thank you for being so patient.
No problem.
Okay. All right. So. Please tell me, excuse me, you were asking me about the connection because you didn't see it. Yeah, so I'll tell you what I was thinking. And you're right. I agree that they sound that they're disjointed, but I don't know, a lot of stories, they have a real peculiar way to get you to the end game. So what I was thinking was that I did not have a storyline that I thought was satisfactory. I liked the idea of this guy doing what he was doing. And I liked the idea of I think the reader, or if it ever became a screenplay, or the viewer, if it was ever filmed, would really love watching these creative, smart little ways that he's found solutions to problems about where to sleep comfortably, about, you know, how to save money, about whatever, you know. You know, for example, he just has – since he doesn't have a house, he doesn't have any bills, but he still has like a phone bill, but he just has the phone bill mailed to his office. So he doesn't have to have a mailbox. So, you know, little things and big things just to get creative and to solve problems and whatever. So I thought that was a great concept. What I struggled with was an end story. And so I knew that I wanted him to be involved in real estate, some sort of like venture capitalism in real estate, because frankly, that's what I do. I'm in real estate development.
Ah.
So I know a little bit about it, the subject, so that I can probably come up with something. And so that's what gave me the idea that he would be in real estate development as opposed to being like a banker or a stockbroker or a doctor or something like that. I was thinking he would be in finance in real estate. So back to answering your question. So I had an idea, a concept that I thought I liked with this character. I didn't really have an end game, an ending. And so what I had come up with was, well, maybe this is a good idea, that he's a venture capitalist in real estate development projects, and he's on his elevator one day going up to his offices up on the 50th floor or wherever he is, and somebody else who's in the elevator turns out to be this woman, and I don't know how they start talking, but eventually, you know, she's on some lower floor, and eventually they start to talk, and she basically says that she is a startup. She's a tech startup company that is creating this app, and that it has to do with real estate because it has to do with homeless people and how they can find things, and all those things that they can find they're at locations that have real estate attached to them. They're locations. So there was a connection for him to be interested because he thought it was an opportunity to make some money, but.
Mm-hmm.
What I envisioned was, so he likes the idea that it might be a good investment. He likes the idea that it might be a good project for the company he works for,
to invest in this thing. So he starts to get involved with her to learn more about the business, to learn more about the app, to learn more about her startup company. And so he's getting to know it more, and then he and her are beginning to have a relationship. I don't know if it's romantic. Maybe it's not romantic at all. I mean, I don't know that yet. I haven't thought about that. But so in her trying to show him the application, the app, and how it works, and all this, at some point she encourages him to, you know, she says, "Hey, what are you doing this Sunday? Well, why don't you come with me to one of the shelters that is on our app, and you can talk to the people there, and they can, the people that run this shelter, and they can tell you how useful this app is for them out on, you know, actually on the ground. They can, you can talk to them about it, and you can even ask some of the homeless people that are at the shelter, you know, how much the app helps them, and you can learn more about it." And so he says, "Okay, sure." And so on a Sunday, he goes with her, and, you know, it's like some, you know, they're like feeding the homeless there, and he's, anyway, and that's when he gets to meet whoever runs that particular shelter. And so when he runs that particular, when he goes to that particular shelter, it turns out it's in this fantastic old property, very old, you know, old property that you wouldn't think much about it, but it's in this great location and has all kinds of opportunities, real estate development-wise, all kinds of real estate development-wise opportunities. Uh-huh. And so he starts to talk to the person who runs that homeless shelter, and it's, like I said, some priest or someone like that. And that, you know, the guy at some point, he ends up talking to him about how, you know, there's some very wealthy family that owns this old piece of property, and they've agreed not to sell it, even though they have people that want to buy it very badly. They've agreed not to sell it so that they can run this shelter here. And at some point, you begin to see that there's some big development firm who really wants that property. And so they start doing illegal stuff. Maybe they break into the offices and the shelter and ransack it and trash it. Or maybe, you know, maybe they
there are a lot of ways to do that. I understand.
That's right. Maybe they, you know, the priest is getting in his car at the end of the day one night, and they jump him and beat him up or what, put him in the hospital, whatever. And so because of that, now that gets him interested. And so he starts to do his own little investigating, and he can do stuff, you know, he's kind of like a man of the streets. So he can do stuff that they don't even realize, they don't recognize him. It's almost like he's invisible to them, because he can play the homeless card so well if he has to play the homeless card. And he, you know, investigates and figures out who the bad people are, this company, and he, you know, catches them in a sting of some kind, and basically at the end of it he catches them, and they lose, and happily ever after.
I'll be very honest with you, because I need your opinion on this as well. I feel like it shifts away from the nature, like the book will be divided into two natures if we go with this kind of storyline. There is a way we can use this ending, but it's going to be slightly different. But like, I get the idea that you're going for. Okay.
Okay.
Because you're looking at a person who started from a heartbreak, right?
Yeah.
Then in order to say going for a happily ever after, one thing that we should have would be a romantic relationship between the person who introduced the app and, you know, the girl you're talking about, the one who introduced the app to him. And the other thing, how we can play this out, because this is going to be slightly difficult, given that we have to have the shelter within a reachable range, because he also has to go to work. We have to carry, you know, the start of the book till the ending. He is a working class guy, right?
Yes, okay.
So from my understanding, to go and help the homeless, given from where he's coming from, wouldn't it make more sense that he actually starts teaching the homeless, the people who are already homeless, to become more street smart. Give them enough of an edge that they, as a collaboration, are capable of handling the problem. That's at least how I see the counteract for the people who are trying to raid or, let's say, create a shakedown in this situation.
So you're saying, I'm sorry, I'm just making sure I'm hearing you right. You're saying he has the homeless people help him?
Yeah, he helps the homeless people help. Like, basically, he's street smart, right? And he's also homeless.
Right.
And he knows how to get, like, how to be homeless, like having a home without being homeless. He's the only person who knows that in this situation, right?
Right.
So first would be understanding him, the reason why he gets involved, because of how I see it. Is, how should I put this? Looking at actual homeless people who don't have jobs changes his perspective to being actually homeless, which then drives him to actually make a better life for the people who are there. Then we can enter the villain story, that the villain are the people who are trying to get rid of this house. And he's trying to turn this house into something they can work in, because he is already into investments and property development, right?
Okay, so you're saying, I'm just making sure I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that by living that lifestyle, it gives him this unique view of homeless people, which gives him a unique respect for, or understanding for them, that most people normally would not get because they're not living the life like he has. And
yeah.
So as a result of that, he ends up wanting to help them.
Yeah, that is because he's able to enjoy homeless life. He has a job. He's able to enjoy homeless. He has the money to enjoy it. But the people who are at this house don't have the money and are homeless, so they can't actually enjoy being homeless. So being a property developer, what he can do is he can propose a solution. Okay, we don't introduce the villain at the start. We propose a solution. Okay. That, let's say it was a big house, we can convert that into a kind of a resort for people to come into. We can have it in a specific location where, you know, it becomes a getaway house for a lot of people. You work in
so,
a house.
No, okay. I don't know that that sounds like a bad idea. That might be a good idea, I think. I think that's a good idea. But there's a couple of things here. Number one, I don't want it to seem like he's happy when he's doing the homeless stuff. I mean, I get your point. You were just trying to make a point to me. I understand you were just trying to make a point to me, but I want to make sure that, I mean, the last one that was written that I said had a kind of a Hollywood feel to it.
Yeah.
What I meant was, you know, he was just kind of, it gave this, it read to me kind of like this guy who is like totally content living, you know, like kicking back on a dirty sofa and putting his arms up and looking at the stars and being content and happy. And I think that's a little too corny for where I want to go with it. I don't want it to be corny. So I like what you're saying. I think it might be a good idea that he has a newfound respect for homeless people, or not a respect, a newfound understanding of what homeless people are, of what people are experiencing. And so as a result of that, he may want to help them. My fear in you trying to translate that into writing the story, my fear is, number one, it could get a little corny with him liking them and trying to be friends with them. I mean, I just don't want it to be this like corny version of that. And I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I think it's a pretty good idea, but I think there's a fine line where you can't, I think trying to help them is a great idea. And maybe this center that you're talking about, maybe like I think I heard you say, it's a pretty darn good idea you said, that maybe, you know, he tries to create a place where it helps these people and there's like job counseling where they can get back to work and stuff like that at the center. All this stuff that he can try to initiate or whatever. I mean, I think all that stuff sounds like it could be a pretty good idea. I just don't want it to get where he is.
This is like confusion, my view on this. You said he's a property developer, right? He's like, he invests in different properties and see if my point of view is right. What I'm saying is rather than getting them back into jobs, he invests into the building. Like, from the priest, he talks to the guy and goes towards ownership of the building in order to convert this, that's something that gives him revenue. Okay, at the same time, it provides job to the other guy. This way, he has an agenda that helps him, and at the same time, it also helps the homeless. So doesn't make it corny, because he, at the start of this, we're going to show it like how he views the property as something he can convert into, let's say, a resort or restaurant, something like that. Okay, because now he has a good cash flow because he doesn't have to pay rent.
Watch out saying the word resort, though, because the reader around here is going to read that and think, well, it's not homeless people don't get a resort. I don't know. But, yeah, I like what you're saying.
No,
I mean, I do.
The point of the resort is not to give the homeless a resort. The point of the resort is to create a place where you own it, the people who work for you were the ex-homeless, so you get them jobs, at the same time you create revenue for yourself.
I understand what you're saying now. I do. And that's, I don't know, maybe with the story you're talking about, maybe we don't even need a bad guy. Maybe we don't even need a villain.
We can create a villain in this situation. That's what I'm saying. He goes for the property. That's where the problem starts coming up. When he starts to own the property and starts to convert it, that's where the villain comes into play. Because there's this guy who tried to own the property before him, but was turned down by, you can say, said priest or whoever the guy who owns the property is. Okay? Out of spite, that guy then trashes everything. You can start
Can I jump in? Because I think I have a good idea based on what you're saying. I like what you're saying, Kevin. I think that's pretty smart. If I can help with this, maybe what it is that he hasn't, and I don't know this, I'm just thinking out loud with you. Maybe he hasn't bought it yet, but he's going through the processes that you got to. So when you're going to do a project like to that scale,
mm-hmm.
Holy cow, there's, you know, you could have it under contract with the intention to buy it from the seller. You could have it under contract for over a year. Mm-hmm. You could have it while you're getting your plans approved by the city, and you're sending in your applications for permits. And when you're getting architectural plans drawn up and conceptual plans drawn up with like pictures and just concept ideas that you can take to the streets and try to sell people on, and there's all kinds of stuff. So maybe where the villain comes in isn't after he buys the place. Maybe what it is there's been this other big development firm out there for the longest time who's been trying to acquire this property, and they've never had any luck. But then this guy gets into, you know, meets this girl who's starting up this app, and through this startup app, he ends up getting involved with her and going and helping and meeting this priest. And through that whole thing, he comes up with this idea that is a development, but it also helps with the homeless. Maybe the benefactors, the really rich family that owns this wonderful old property. Maybe what it is they're this really, really wealthy family, but one of their siblings in the past, one of the parent, the old grandparents' first children like had mental health issues and was homeless. So as a result, they as the rich owners of the property, they've just always felt in their heart they wanted to do something with this old property that helped the homeless. And so they've never entertained any other offers from this other bad guy developer. But then when this guy comes in, and his way that he gets in probably is with that girl and looking at the app and all that. But then she invites him to go and check the place out or check one of the places out, and that's when he meets this priest and blah, blah, blah. And because he comes up, because of, like you're saying, because of his appreciation for what homeless people go through, when he comes up with an idea that it's a development project, except this one actually also helps homeless people, that's what gets the rich benefactor family to step up and say, okay, we'll sell it now. And then when the evil developer hears that this guy's company has it under contract now to be able to be bought, he gets pissed off because they never entertained his offers, and so maybe he starts trying to do illegal shit.
Exactly. And we can also lead it towards this project becoming a problem for his personal life as well, not just a property. Why? Because you would want to know your, what's the word I'm looking for? Competitor. Okay? You're like the bad guys. They want to know who bought the place. They want to know who their competitor is in this situation. So he starts getting tailed.
He starts
see
getting
where
what?
I'm going with this. He starts getting tailed.
Oh, tailed?
Yeah.
Oh, where you're going, meaning that somebody will discover that he's homeless?
Yeah, but he finds ways to avoid that. That's why I'm saying it also develops into the plot line now of how he's going to avoid, keeping everything to himself about being homeless while doing this entire project. This will develop into the entire storyline of how the bad guys plays a role of somebody. Because if you have a plot line like this, that you have a brilliant idea, to a normal person, it's absolutely crazy. You have to have at least someone trying to discover it, because some of his patterns wouldn't make sense to a lot of people.
I like every single thing you're saying, man.
So I think we have something good going here.
I do too. I think that sounds like a really good direction.
Yeah. So I am.
You feel that way too?
Yeah. I completely do. Because I was thinking, because when overall trying to help the homeless, the reason why I was like against the idea is because it felt so corny and so off topic from initially where it started. Because suddenly you're interested and you're helping the homeless, and this guy comes in and you're still willing to put everything on the line to go for this. We have to have some stake for the guy, which is this project. With this project, he would be able to get back at his fiancée at the same time while helping people, because he wants to prove to the fiancée that he can earn, he can become wealthy again.
Yep.
There's so many things that, eventually that just, then fall into place. Because the most important thing, which I believe, like I've been in this for quite some time now, I believe the most important thing is the plot line, to know what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. If you don't have an entire outline, the story is just going to break up eventually. So from my understanding, you have an outline made at this time, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to have my guy edit this out a bit. I'm going to share the entire call with him, okay? Because being very honest, I do not write now. I write these days because I'm more in the managerial role right now.
Sure.
But I'll make sure I'll keep tabs on this project because now I'm personally invested in this, because I want to see where this ends and how it turns out. So I'm going to keep tabs on this going forward. And if at any point in time you want to talk to me, you can always come and voice your concerns. You can just give me a call. However, my work hours are a bit weird because I don't get up early. I just don't like getting up early, being very honest. So I play 11 to 8. And that's my work hours, Eastern.
Okay. 11 to 8.
Eastern.
Eastern Standard Time. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I wanted to talk to you again, just to brainstorm or whatever, should I just reach out to Lisa and say, hey, can you have Kevin
you can
chat to me?
whenever you call on this number, you'll reach out to reception, not me directly. So you can just call reception and let them know that you want to talk. You're James Daniel, you want to talk to Kevin. And they'll say, let me look it up because you're coming under my wing.
Okay, great. All right, Kevin. Yeah, Matt, I really appreciate the call, buddy.
No problem. Okay, well, the other thing I want to talk about is I see a few concerns, a few corrections that you pointed out, a few of the edits, and I'm very confused. How did 410 happen? The height? What? You have a correction here. He cannot be 410, and I'm looking at 410. What is he, a dwarf?
I think in the one that, story that I read, I think the guy said, and he's 4'10" in stature.
I think it was a typo and he meant 5'10" because we try to go for the average height, which is around 5'9". So we can have that boosted up to 6". So.
Yeah, I figured that.
Yeah, because when I looked at it, I'm like 4'10". Like even in India, they don't have 4'10" as an average height, but like.
I figured that was a typo.
Yeah. Aside from that, I'm going to talk to the team. Okay. I'm going to share the call with them. We're actually going to just sit as a team, and then I'm going to start open this call, and everybody's going to listen to it. You're fine with that, right?
Yeah. They can hear it?
No, they can't hear it now, but I'm going to pull out this recording, and then we're going to hear it, because the team who's currently writing, it needs to understand the storyline we're trying to follow.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
sounds great, man.
Okay. Anything else you want to talk about aside from this? How's your experience with Lisa and how's your experience with the team aside from that?
I'm good, but yeah, I'll talk to Lisa about anything else, okay?
Perfect. So, but we'll keep in touch going forward. If you ever want to get in touch with me, you know where to reach me. Aside from that, Lisa will still be on the project. She's your project manager, and trust me, she's one of the best out there. Okay.
She's been great. Thank you.
Yeah. So let me know if you have any other problems, and if at any point in time you, like if there are problems in hands and they go over the top, do let me know. I'll give you my personal number just in case to reach me out. Okay?
All right, Kev. Thanks so much, buddy.
No problem. Do you have a pen or paper, or where are you going to type that up?
Yeah, hang on 1 second.
Okay.
Hang on. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So 217-598-8637.
Okay.
Can you repeat that so I know it's nice, the right number?
217-518-8683.
Yeah.
8637.
Yep. That is me.
Okay, Kevin, thank you so much, my friend.
No problem. Take care, James, and have a good day. I'll keep it.
You too, buddy. Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye.